Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Thursday, October 18th, 2018. We have 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule, which is really more like it in terms of ship numbers. I know after hearing stuff about tariffs, we all get a little nervous when the ship traffic drops, but we're back to kind of normal today. So we have 5 inbounders, we have 5 in the Astoria Anchorage, and we have 8 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. I'll talk a little bit about inbound ships and outbound ships, and then we will talk about earthquakes. First inbound today is the Tug C-SPAN Rogue. She's arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's headed for the fuel docks at the Port of Astoria. Well, not the Port of Astoria, but along the Astoria waterfront, there is a fuel dock that vessels can come into. And so Astoria is actually a great place for vessels to duck in out of the Pacific and get some fuel because we just simply are not very far from the mouth of the river compared to other places along the coast where people can go to get fuel. So she'll be arriving there maybe about 6 a.m. is when she got there to get some fuel. The cruise ship, the Eurodam, she's a big one, about 1,000 feet long, is arriving from Seattle today around just a little before noon. She's going to be at the Port of Astoria, one of those really huge ones that towers over the Cannery Pier Hotel. So if you get a chance to drive by, it makes Astoria look like toys when these big ships come in, especially for those buildings that we consider to be large that are on the waterfront that just get really dwarfed by those big vessels when they come in. The new Keeper is arriving from South Korea. She's headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She's a wheat ship. She'll be arriving there at about 11:30 this morning. The Atromitos 1 is arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She's another wheat vessel. She'll be picking wheat up eventually when she goes upriver, but she'll be arriving in the Astoria Anchorage around 1:30 p.m. today. The Adventure 2 is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., another dry bulk carrier headed for, this one's headed for Portland, for the Port of Portland to pick up potash. She'll pass Astoria at night around 10:30 p.m., and about 6 hours later, you'll see her at the Port of Vancouver anchoring there before she goes to she'll be going. This one is coming from Vancouver, British Columbia. She'll be going directly to the Port of Portland. But sometimes these vessels do come in and anchor off of Vancouver, Washington, because there is a big anchorage area there where that's deep draft, deep water, where those vessels can wait if they need to. One of a handful of places along the river where ships can stop and wait. In the Astoria Anchorage, we have the Latika Neri. She is arriving. She's leaving the Astoria Anchorage, headed for Vancouver at about noon. She's a wheat ship. The Belita is leaving the Astoria Anchorage to go to Longview to pick up wheat. She'll be leaving around 1 p.m. The Atromitos 1 that I said is arriving today will be there until about 3 p.m., and then she'll head upriver to pick up wheat. That leaves, they have the Silvergate. She's headed for Kalama to pick up wheat, and the Patience Lake is awaiting orders in the anchorage. And she's going to eventually be going upriver to pick up potash. I think I'm going to stop now and talk about earthquakes. Hi, Pat Corcoran.
Good morning, Joanne and
Hi.
Everyone.
Thank you so much for being here in the studio with us. Pat is so knowledgeable about issues that we all need to know about. He's a coastal hazards outreach specialist, is that right?
Extension agent for coastal hazards is another way to think about
okay.
it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So today, what is today? Today's kind of a special day. We're going to be talking today, end at 10:18, and what's that all about?
Today's the Great Shakeout, which is a worldwide intentional few minutes to think about earthquakes. They happen here. What would we do when one happens? So it's an annual reminder of this unusual but real event.
And, you and I have talked about this on the air in past years, and one of the things that you have said before that makes it hard for us to sort of take this seriously, because it's never happened here in our lifetimes, right?
Since Western settlement, yeah.
Yeah.
The big one, and typically when we're talking about the big one, the subduction
right.
zone, which
right.
creates the tsunami at the beach, which is an important thing to talk about because we haven't experienced that. And that's a dangerous event in a dangerous location. But today, it's an opportunity to talk about earthquakes in general.
Okay.
We look around us, we have all these beautiful mountains. They're created by the movement of the earth. When that happens, it makes earthquakes. In Oregon, we have small, medium, and large earthquakes. We've been really focusing on those large ones
That's
and the tsunamis
right.
they generate.
That's right.
But there are listeners who remember the 2001 Nisqually quake, which was a 7 up in Nisqually, which is by Olympia. And people here said they were on the beach and it looked like someone shook a rug.
Wow.
And they saw a little ripple. So visible, noticeable, some didn't feel it. That would be a small one. But there's also ones that we would feel a little bit more, and then, of course, the subduction zone. So today is a reminder of earthquakes in general, and it's kind of like getting a flu shot as well. You know, we scare ourselves a little bit today, so when it actually happens, we are scared quicker and start just doing the right thing.
Right. I know, you know, you've talked a lot about preparedness, which, you know, I'm not sure that everyone is really prepared to be prepared because it's kind of a frightening thought. But I really liked something that you said a few years ago when we were talking about how it's like you prepare and then you just let go of it. You just do the preparation and then you stop obsessing about it and you just don't worry about it anymore. And then, but then you at least know that you've done the best you can.
Yeah, it's my job to obsess about it 7 days a week. But if everyone would kind of wrap your head around it and then sort of let it go. The reason why I'm always jumping up and down like my hair's on fire is because it hasn't happened since Western settlement, we don't have the experience. And we kind of need that 2x4 to the forehead just to expect it. You know, once we expect it, then I'm like, okay, now that we expect it, let's take a breath and step back. What is it that we're expecting? Earthquake, either small, medium, and large. More likely, it's going to be small or medium, but we have to be aware of the large. And in any circumstance, the instructions are essentially the same, which is to, when you feel the earthquake, duck, cover, and hold. And they mean that just because so stuff doesn't bonk you on the head, because you're probably in a building or in a store. And if you are in that tsunami inundation zone, which is a really small geographic area, even on the coast, you got to get out of it real quick. But for most of us, most of the time, it's just dealing with the shaking and then the after effects, which, again, most of the time won't be that bad, but it'll be on some spectrum, like winter storms. We get some winter storms that are kind of bad and some that are really bad. Same with quakes.
Right. You know, and I think I just think the whole idea of preparedness is so I mean, we talk to a lot of people who are somewhat prepared and some people who just don't. Just sort of can't deal with it. So I guess today is about encouraging you to think in terms of getting prepared and then, as Pat said, kind of letting go of it and knowing that you've done all that you can do. And so the great shakeout, we're going to be at 10:18 today on Brian Bovenizer's show on Thursday Folk, talking about, that is the time, isn't it, the nationally...
It's just an arbitrary time, 10:18 on 10:18. It's October 18th. It's something to remember. Right. The Great Shakeout is the organization for any and all answers to questions, or go to greatshakeout.org. You can click on the Oregon one and see about 500,000 people in Oregon that are doing this.
Oh,
and there's
great.
All kinds of resources if you're disabled, in a car, in bed, et cetera.
Right. And so we were talking about, there's so many great resources on that website. We were talking about just the simple idea of putting a pair of shoes in a tote bag next to your bed. Why do we need to do that?
Well, the idea was you take the leg of your bed and you put it through the loop of your tote bag. And then when the things jiggle, it doesn't jiggle away and you've got your shoes and things like that. In the Northridge quake, the vast majority of injuries were cut feet and people injuring themselves, tripping over things that they couldn't see and stuff like that. It's just simple stuff.
Yeah. So in honor of this tonight, take a pair of shoes, put them in a tote bag, put them next to your bed with one loop underneath one of the feet of your bed, and you will have done something really great for yourself.
And tomorrow, reward yourself by buying some new shoes.
There you go. You've been listening to The Ship Report. Thanks so much, Pat, for being here. And we'll talk with Pat again at 10:18 this morning on Coast Community Radio. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.